Good morning, everybody. I'm excited today talking about joy. I got an easy topic. There's so many verses and just stories and stories and stories of joy in the Bible. And I want to start with how you doing? Is it? Like every good sermon, I have 3 points in a poem, just so you know. And by the way, I was going to encourage everybody here, even if you never preach or never teach, you should make a sermon for yourself, because I've been studying this for several weeks, and there's nothing like putting something together and it's cohesive. And I pray that the message that is in my head can come out through my mouth, and then God, and I speak for God, because this is exciting. My first point is the promise of joy, and my second point is the source of joy. Where do we get it? How do we get this? And then the third one is power, the power of joy in your life. And then this last evening, sleeping about it, thinking about it, God gave me, you know, give it a little pizzazz and jazz and maybe a little Pentecostal stuff. So the 3 points now are shout it, live it, and sing it. So here we go. The slide number two. The promise of joy is all through the Bible, but these are some verses that came up. A few days ago, Dave and I were meeting, and he says, "How you doing?" And you go, "Well, I like got dumped on by a pile of hay, and I'm picking through to find the right piece of hay." So there's so much here, but this verse popped up because it's those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. There's a lot of things in the Old Testament that are minor key, including some of the songs and stuff that we sing at Christmas. There's a lot of minor key songs, and it, you know, it invokes emotion and sadness and struggles and stuff, but there's a promise of joy. And then the next one, Psalm 30, verse 4 and 5. Sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name, for his anger is but for a moment, but his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. And then, time-wise, the timeline-wise, I'm going to skip ahead to the New Testament. And John 1, 22 through 23, they asked John the Baptist, "Now, what can you tell us about yourself?" Because they were, I guess I'll go for it. And he said, "I'm just a voice. I'm just a guy pointing." They said to him, "Who are you? So that we may give you an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as Isaiah the prophet said." And this was John echoing all these Old Testament shouts of the coming Messiah, the one that's going to fix everything and give us salvation. And John was like in the moment of, you know, what the crux of everything, of all of history. He was there, and he was the guy pointing to the Messiah. It's not me, guys. It's him. This is who it is. We finally got him. And he was excited. And it's like, I'm kind of a movie person, so in the directing of it, you have guys on, you know, the song Go Tell It on the Mountain. There's people on the peaks and guys in the valley with their sheep and whatever, and just in the city bustling and round, and there's this echo of, you know, there's a Messiah coming. Get ready. He's coming. For thousands of years, they're saying this and not getting bored with it. There's an excitement that comes from knowing that there's somebody coming that's going to save us. And the slide 5 is a song by Charles Wesley. We've all sang it. Come thou long expected Jesus, born to set your people free. From our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art. Dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. The echo goes through history and lands on Jesus, the crux, the pivot point of history. I just want to share you an illustration. I've got a piece of fabric here. It's called tapestry, and this is not a new idea to me. It's been around, but and you might have heard this before. I'll move over so you can get. There's a couple things about this tapestry. It has various colors. It has try to make sure I get there's two ways to explain this. God is the weaver. He's the guy that makes this tapestry. And you can see it's got colors and patterns and stuff. But he's the one that is doing it. He's making it go. He's putting all the colors and strings in here and pushing it together. And it's kind of like a version of Romans 8:28. He works everything together for those who know and love him. But it's also not just through the timeline of history, but it's also a picture of yourself individually. God uses experiences and people in your life to make you who you are. There's a couple things you want to see about this fabric. You can see, of course, that it has colors and strings that go all the way through. Hope, peace, and love, and joy are all woven through the biblical time. We see dimly now, but soon all will be revealed through cords of God's providence and loving kindness. You see, it's kind of cool looking from the back, but it's nothing like the front. And we don't really see it the way God works in our lives completely. Sometimes in terms of our individual tapestry, we're kind of caught in the moment. We don't see the whole thing. And the people in the Old Testament, and as we come into 2025, we don't see all of what God's doing. We know that there's prophecies and he's going to do stuff, but we don't really see all of it together. But God knows the whole color and the pattern, and you can see it's a lot more pretty from the front. God has built it so that every color and every form has a purpose. Each thread of the prophecy serves a unique purpose, so all the themes of hope, joy, peace, and love and joy intertwine through Scripture, connecting generations and stories in moments of sorrow and anticipation. These threads remind us that God's promises are steadfast. His grace continually unfolds, guiding us toward the fullness of joy that is found only in Him. I mentioned that the colors are, some of the chords are dark. And this is kind of the part where it gets real. They highlight the contrast between light and shadow, reminding us that God's faithfulness often shines through the brightest of times and trial. Through every season, whether in conflict, waiting, or rejoicing, these threads are woven by the Master's hand, assuring us that His plan is both intricate and good. As we reflect on the unfolding story, we are invited to trust each moment, both joyfully and challenged, both joyful and challenging, holds significance within God's greatest design. It's much like a painting has dark edges highlighting by light, or a jeweler showing off a prized diamond against a backdrop of black velvet, making it pop. So you can't really see. What I mean is, God's faithfulness is accentuated by the stuff we go through in life. I give myself a note. I gotta skip. The heart of Jesus is for us to see that He is in the center, the pivotal point of history. If we listen closely through the words of Scripture, we hear the prophet's cry. I talked about that up the mountaintops and everyday life, longing for the shepherd's heart to be in the green pastures of the promised land, all coming to a climax of a crying baby king. The cry, the Messiah is coming, the Messiah is coming, the Messiah is coming, the echoes, it echoes, it echoes through the Bible, comes down to the point of, the cry of the baby king. Now I get to do this fun one. Number 6. There's a guy in the New Testament, Simeon. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. Just as a side note, how cool would it be for that to be on your gravestone? This man was righteous and devout. Anyway, go back to it. And he had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. So this guy was like 80-something, 80 million years old, and he couldn't die until he saw the Lord. And he came in the Spirit to the temple, and the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the promise, the custom of the law. He took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word." Don't you love media? "For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people." And then the next slide. This is a picture that my sister has on her wall by Ron DeCanti. And it's a picture of Simeon with the baby Jesus. "My eyes have seen your salvation. Holding him like this. How's it going? I will make you a light for the nations. My salvation may reach to the end of the world. So we have shouted. What does it look like for us here and now? The next one is live it. The source of joy. Where do we get it? The slides are being dumb, so. Oh, here we go. You make known to me the path of life in your presence. There is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So I was looking at that, and the fullness of joy, that's all good. Where do we get it? It's in the presence of God, presence of Jesus. And then in John 15, we talk about the words of Jesus. 15:4 says, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. And then through abiding in him, our joy is full. And I don't know if you've done any work with vines, but this last fall, I did a little work on my blackberry vines in the yard. Talk about brutal trials that you go through to get a clear yard. Some of the root balls were that big, you know, 8 years old, giant chunks of wood. You could almost make lumber out of it, the blackberry vines. And there's something about a vine. It only can produce what the root has. And if we're rooted in Jesus, if that's our whole existence and life, we're going to bear fruit. And that's what the job is of a vine branch, is to bear fruit. We know that gratitude leads to joy. It comes from knowing Jesus and thinking the way he thinks about sin and holiness. It is us making our abode in his presence, bearing fruit, no other source, no other agenda or purpose, but living in him. That's all we have to do, be with Jesus. And then we sing it. The power of joy comes from the singing, the songs of praise and joy. Slide 10, if it's going to work. The power of joy through it. Though you not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Those are the words of Peter. In God, in Isaiah 2:2-3, behold, my God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. I don't know if it was AI on my phone or whatever, but I was studying for this, and I got this thing popped up, and it's a YouTube guy called Dan Mangan, and he had a video of him singing this song. I didn't write it out because it's his intellectual property and I didn't want to get in trouble or whatever, but I want to read you this poem. He's walking through a German Christmas bazaar somewhere in Belgium or something. And he's kind of shifty eyes and looking down and kind of, he was not really, really depressed, but he was kind of just pensive, thinking about things. And this is how, I want to share you this, the poem here, because the lyrics to the words are not in any way Christian. They don't have any basis in Christ. And that's why I want to show them to you or tell you about it, because it struck a chord with me. I watched it nonstop for like 30 minutes, just on endless loop. Is this me? Is this what I feel? And I found it echoed in my heart, and it kind of made me wake up a little bit to the reality of what Christmas is and what the joy of the Lord is. This is called If We're Honest. So it's an honest Christmas song. Since we're talking about singing and songs, anyway, here you go. And if you want to link to it, I'll give you a tip. But he makes his living with this, but I didn't think it was appropriate for Sunday church to put a video on the screen. So anyway, let me read you this. Always comes so fast and hurts a bit. I want to make it last and feel all of it. Doesn't feel like the way I remember it. Maybe that's just it. The hardest bits are part of it. Maybe that's just Christmas, kids. Sort of sweet and kind of sad. In the middle distance where life always lands and hits you like an avalanche. You just want to feel the glow again. The glow again. The glow again. It's not a myth or some kind of cosmic test. Just some people out here doing their best to make it special for the kids in that. They're not ready yet to let it come and let it pass and let another year end. Merry Christmas. I love you. Never question that. Safe to say I'm doing it wrong, but here's a Christmas song. It's just the hollow despair and nothing to really hang on. And I was hoping, I asked the Lord, you know, was this me? And I have always been kind of a Scrooge at Christmas. I hated it because it was a reminder of how poor I was and then all the things I couldn't do for my kids and everything else. And the meaningless bustle and hustling and money just dumping out of the top window of your house, like the little spanky guy from Little Rascals. He's got a bucket and he's just throwing money out the window. This is what it's like to have daughters. Just the way Christmas is sometimes if you don't have a reason to sing. And that's why the words of Peter, though you do not see him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible, filled with joy, filled with glory. And then in Hebrews 13:15, through him let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Sometimes praise is a deep sacrifice and it hurts. It only hurts when it's humanly impossible. It's easy to praise him when it's happy. And happiness is a fickle friend. It only happens, you're only happy when it's happening. That's where you get the word, I guess. Joy faces life's challenges and difficulty head on based on objective reality and faces facts of the faith. We know that God keeps his promises. We know that he's worthy of our praise. And that's what David could sing in the cave and dance before the Lord in the palace. Paul could sing in prison, and all the other guys that got it locked up for believing in him. Living above the circumstances, knowing that truth of the gospel makes every painful circumstance bearable. God calls us to joy. Sacrifices of joy only hurt when it's humanly impossible again. This has been a rough year for us in the beginning. My mom died in January. And we expected it was coming anyway, but just the watching her deteriorate was the hardest part, because she wanted to be with God in heaven, and we wanted her to be there too. It seemed like it, but it's not the hardest thing I've ever done. Verse 12, or picture 12, it's going to work. Joy is always the end result of righteous repentance and the reckless abandon of obedience. You could put my name in there because I wrote that. I'm kind of proud of it. Joy is always the end result of righteous repentance. The reckless abandon of obedience. Everything we do is because God said it. It's what we should do. I was recently studying John chapter 2 and the wedding at Cana, and Jesus did the water into wine. The thing that grabbed me out of that whole story was that, you know, the guy comes up and he says, "Hey, we're out of wine. What's going on?" And Mary said to the servant, "This is my son. Whatever he says to you, you do that." And if that could be a mantra for your life, whatever Jesus says, that's what you do. We got a life full of curveballs. It's often described as a dumpster fire. Death is separation, but sometimes dreams die, relationships are pushed to the edge of the abyss. Betrayal and disappointment plague us in this life, but we have a Savior who sees us, who reaches into the far crevices of the fearful, hungry heart to pull us out and feed us and make things right. It's kind of like the 99. He leaves those behind because they're safe. He goes out to find the 100th. You seek out opportunities to praise through music, a conscious decision to obey the truth. In some of the studies I came across, they were quoting Charles Spurgeon was quoting Martin Luther whenever something came up that was hard to deal with, or pain or suffering, and he says, I'm pretty sure he had a barrel belly on him, and he, "Let us sing a psalm and spite the devil," because that's who we are. Remember God's faithfulness. God doesn't change. The times he saved us in the past are testament to how he will save us now and in the future. What are some of the threads of joy and grace in your life? What are the experiences that have made you who you are? How can you make Christian experience at Christmas more about presents and hollow celebrations? And how do you make songs of praise and rejoicing more a part of our lives in times of trouble? I have a challenge for you. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and is good and acceptable and perfect. I don't know who here doesn't have the joy of Christ, but I invite you to explore that in your own heart. Is there something Pastor Dave or us or whoever, one of the adults, could bring you through? I want to be like Jesus. I want to know more about him. I want to abide in him, because my life is not full of joy. It's hard, and I want out. Is there someone here that needs a jump start? Our car decided to die at some 330,000 miles, and I'm tired of starting it in the morning when it's, you know, are you feeling like that? Are you just, I'm done, I'm 300,000 miles on me, I'm done. I need joy in my life, I need God, I need Jesus side by side. I want to abide in him. I want to hook myself into his vine. I invite you to talk to someone. And with that, let's sing a song of praise to Jesus. Remember to shout it, live it, sing it. Thanks.